gospel light, which is the gospel, by the way, which is God's power to save. Good to have you present. I want to join with Chris in saying we're delighted to have you, and we want to meet our visitors, especially at the end of this service. You know, the Bible talks about giving to hospitality, and one of the most tragic things I hear about some churches is that a visitor visited and said, "Not a soul spoke to me." Now, I don't believe that can be said about West Boonville, because I've watched you after the service. You try to meet these people who are visiting with us, and you give them a welcome. And that's the way it should be. It would be catastrophic for a person to visit a congregation and no one even speak to them, although I've heard that that has happened in a few places. So let's be given to hospitality, and let's meet our visitors. We have mentioned the Center family several times. I mentioned it in the class, and Harold mentioned it in the prayer, and of course we extend our very condolences to the family. Some of you may not know exactly what took place. I want to review as best I know. When Jimmy picked up his little baby the other day from the nursery, he started to strap it in the car seat, and he noticed the child wasn't breathing. He tried to revive the child, but failed, but he did take it to the emergency room, and they put it on life support and called the helicopter, and the helicopter transferred the baby to Memphis, to Bonner. And the baby's been over there with the family. I understand still on life support. Now, whether it will survive after the life support is removed, we do not know. And we do not know, maybe at this point, whether there's brain damage been done to the child due to the lack of oxygen. But we just hope and pray that everything works best for the family, and we want to keep them in mind in this hour of adversity. And I wanted to mention that because some of you may not have known the details of what had transpired. I want to speak to you for a while today on a subject that's very important. And I want to turn to Matthew, the 16th chapter, where Jesus entered into the coast of Caesarea Philippi with his apostles and promised to build his church. You know, the church is misunderstood. Even the word is misunderstood by so many people today. And I want to talk about that a while. Jesus entered into this city. You know, Caesarea was a common name. There was more than one town called Caesarea. And the reason they named town Caesarea, they were naming them after the Caesar. They honored the Caesar, and they like that's what Caesarea means, the Caesar. And so we have Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus entered into this city and asked his disciples about his identity. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some think you're John the Baptist, some think you're Jeremiah, or one of the prophets, Isaiah, you're one of the prophets. Well, of course, Jesus knew that wasn't true, and the people didn't even know who he was. So he asked his own disciples, the 12, he said, whom say ye that I am? The impetuous one, known as Peter, the quick-spoken, and even kind of high-tempered man. Peter was that. You know that when you studied his life. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you know the Lord really liked that, because it is a complete confession. When he said, thou art the Christ, the Christos, the Christ, he didn't say, you're one of the Christs, because there's only one. He says, the, he used the definite article, the. Thou art the Christ, the Son that shows his person in the Godhead. He's not the Father, and he's not the Holy Ghost. You know, a lot of times people get a little confused about deity. They say, why is Jesus sometime called God? Well, the reason is you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And they're all deity. And there's nothing wrong with that. You need to study your Bible. And a little people get a little confused about that. But there are three persons in the Godhood or the Godhead, and that is God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And if you will notice the confession Peter made, he didn't say, thou art the Christ, the Father. He says, thou art the Christ, the Son. He's the Son of what? Of a living God, the omnipotent ruler of the universe. And God lives. He's still living. He's very much alive. And he's not only omnipotent, he's omnipresent. But anyway, Jesus liked it, and he said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but the Father who is in heaven. In other words, this confession came from God. It's not a man-made confession. And indeed, it isn't. You've got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in order to be saved. And he says, flesh and blood didn't give this to you, but the Father. And I also say that thou art Peter. Now, this word Petros is masculine gender, and it refers to a little pebble. Peter was a small rock. Then he said, upon this rock, Petra, which means a massive foundation. Now, the Catholic people like to say the church was built on Peter. That's not what Jesus said. He didn't even use the same gender. He used two different words. One of them is masculine gender, and the other one is feminine gender. And I told someone, anyone that knows the difference between a boy and a girl ought to know that Jesus didn't build his church on Peter. He didn't even use the same gender. Now, Peter means a pebble, a small rock. But when Jesus said, upon this rock, he's talking about the confession Peter made. That solid confession that I am the Son of God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, I also say that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, this bedrock, I will build my church. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. And in a little later on, he said he gave the keys to all the apostles, which he did, not only to Peter, but to all of the apostles. They had the keys of the kingdom to tell how you're to get into the church or the kingdom. And the kingdom and the church are used interchangeably. Now, I want to talk about the called out today, which is the meaning of the word. You know, we need to understand about the church. It's the ecclesia, which means the called out. And there's no religious significance connected with the word church unless it has a prepositional phrase modifying it. Did you know that? You could call out a group. You could call out a church to do anything, which simply means they're called out. That's the basic meaning of the word church as a collective noun. A collective noun is a noun like a covey of quail or a flock of geese or something like that. It embraces several. And that's why we call it a collective noun. And unless it has a prepositional phrase modifying it, it doesn't mean anything to God, and there's no religious significance. For example, if I'd say the Church of John Doe, the prepositional phrase of John Doe doesn't mean anything to God. It means it's man-made. It's a man-made church. And there are man-made churches all over this country. People start churches there's over 1,200 of them. They start churches all the time, the church of this and the church of that. But if you'll notice in the Bible, when you have the church of the Lord, the church of Christ, the church of God, the prepositional phrase shows you that this is the apple of God's eye. It is the Lord's church. Then it means something. And what I'm interested in is not the church of John Doe or some other fellow out here that might want to start him a church, and a lot of folks start a church. A lot of people say, well, one church is good as another. That's really not so. A man-made church is never as good as the church of the Bible, church of the Lord, of Christ. Notice that phrase, of Christ, of God, church of. The churches of Christ salute you, as Paul said in Romans 16:16. And so what we want to talk about is the called out, but we want to talk about the called out of the Bible, the church you read about in the Bible. Someone says, but doesn't the Bible say the church is the body of Christ? Yes, it does. And he only has one body. And I know that a lot of people don't like that when you say that the Bible says there's only one church, but really that's the truth about the matter. Because it is the body of Christ. A man asked me one time if I was a preacher, and I said, yes, I'm a preacher. He says, of what church are you a member? And I said, I'm a member of the body of Christ. And he didn't ask me which one. He knew that there's only one body, and that is the church. And that's the one you need to be a member of, ladies and gentlemen, not some man-made church started by Martin Luther or somebody else. Even though they're called churches, and I don't deny that, because that's the meaning of the called out. That's why I'm talking about the called out. But you need to be a member of the one the Lord talked about here when he said, upon this rock, I will build my church. If you notice the pronouns here, I is a nominative pronoun and the subject of the sentence. Jesus said, I, and then the verb phrase is will build. And now that's from a Greek word which means to build from the foundation up, which meant that when the Lord made this statement, he didn't have his church. And he didn't. It didn't start till the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. Then the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You remember in Acts, the second chapter. And so the Lord said, I will build. What are you going to build, Lord? Well, he said, I'm going to build my church. Notice that possessive pronoun, my, modifying church. He didn't say just any church. He said, it's my church. And it did. The church, Acts 20:28, cost the blood of Jesus, because Paul told the elders at Ephesus, feed the church of the Lord, which he has purchased with his own blood. If that called out body that we read about in the Bible cost the blood of Jesus, do you think you can go to heaven without being a member of a blood-bought institution? Do you know why it's blood-bought, and do you know how he purchased it with his blood? That's what the Bible says. Well, the church is a collective now, and it's made up of people. And so it simply means that people who have obeyed the gospel have contacted the blood of Jesus and thus been the redeemed and a part of the church. That's how he purchased it with his blood. He gave his blood for the redemption of the people in the church. The people have availed themselves. And so when they're baptized into the death of Christ, as we're told in Romans 6:3-4, we know he shed his blood in his death, and when you're baptized, you contact that blood. Isn't that simple? Therefore, that's how he purchased the church with his blood. Remember, the word church is a collective noun. It's made up of people. Boys and girls, men and women. And therefore, when you're baptized into the death of Jesus, you contact that blood, and that's why Paul could say to the elders, feed the church of the Lord, which he hath purchased with his own blood. But what was he talking about when he said the church, the called out, people, the collective noun? Isn't that simple? Sometimes people will read a verse and they really don't know the significance of it. And therefore, ladies and gentlemen, what we have is Jesus promising to build his church. And he did. And it's here today. I had a person, I believe in the state of Texas one time, I'd preached a sermon talking about the church being the body. He says, preacher, I agree with you that the church is the body and the Lord only has one church, but how in the world am I to find it when there's 1,200 different churches in the world? How can I locate it? How in the world can I know when I found that church? Well, number one, let me tell you something. Let me just put a bug in your ear. When you obey the gospel, the facts of the gospel, according to Acts, the second chapter, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You are automatically added to the church whether you know it or not. Did you know that? If you believe and repent and confess and are baptized into Christ and contact that blood, did you know you're already a member of the church? And do you know who puts you on the church roll? God does up there in heaven. Man has nothing to do with it. You're not voted in. God adds you to the church. So you're a member of the church. Don't worry about it. Someone says, well, you think he added me to the right one? I'll guarantee it. When the Lord adds you, he's not going to add you to some man-made church. He adds you to the body. He adds you to the one Jesus said he was going to build. And if a man can be saved out of the church, he could be saved where he shouldn't be because the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Did you ever read that in the Bible? It's in the book. And if a man could be saved out of the church, he could be saved where he shouldn't be because the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So when you're saved, you're added to the church. And thus, ladies and gentlemen, we see this called out group. this church is in the Bible. And so it's simply this: when you obey the gospel, you become a part of the church. Someone says, but that doesn't answer my question. That man in Texas, he said, all right, he said, granting that when I obey the gospel, I'm added to the church. But then he says, I've got to become a part of a local congregation for work, worship, and fellowship because the church universal has no government. Therefore, how am I going to know which group to meet with? Because there's a group over here and a group over here, and they do this, and this group does that, and this one does that. And they don't all do the same thing, and they don't all teach the same thing. Well, I'm going to tell you how you're going to know. It's by the word identity. Identity. You see, the church of the Bible has certain identifying marks. If I were to go out here on the parking lot and find an automobile, and I'd say, what kind of car is that? You'd say, well, it says Chevrolet on the front of it, and it has all the features of a Chevrolet. Well, what are you doing? You have identified it and separated it from a Ford. And anybody can do that. Even the name is right. You know, the church of the Lord, the church of Christ, the churches of Christ salute you. Well, if a number of congregations are churches of Christ, one would be Church of Christ. And so one of the ways you could identify it is by the name itself. Chevrolet, Ford, or whatever it may be. Someone says, you mean the church that assembles has identifying marks in the Bible and that all I have to do is to find, read my Bible and then see what they're doing? That's correct. That is correct. And when you see these identifying marks, such as the right name and the right organization, someone says, what do you mean by organization? Well, I'll tell you. You read in the Bible that a fully organized church had elders and deacons. And you have qualifications of elders and deacons. Read your Bible. And these elders are to rule over the local congregation. Read Acts, the 20th chapter, which we studied in our class this morning. Those elders are the presbyters. You know our word elder is used about 60, well, I believe around 60 times in the Bible, and from presbyteros. And it means to oversee, to rule over. And so the identifying mark then of a church you're looking for is one that has elders when they're qualified, has deacons, has evangelists, and it has members. What are we doing? Well, we're trying to identify it. You ask the question the man asked, how am I going to know when I find a scriptural church? The only way is by the Bible. Not by how big it is. Not by how many pastors it has. It's only by the book. Speaking as the oracles of God. You find one that is fully organized, that has elders, deacons, evangelists, members. You have one that worships God the way the Bible says. There's five acts of worship. There's the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. I don't have time to go into detail on all of this. But and it sings, as mentioned about seven times in the New Testament. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God in the jailhouse. You remember in Acts 16? And you find one that prays and that teaches the Word of God and that gives of its means upon the first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, to give as you've been prospered. And there are five things that church does. There's five things it does. I don't care. You can fuss about it all you want to. Five things it does as acts of worship, authorized by God, not by man. So you want to find a church that practices that. They sing. They pray. They observe the Lord's Supper. They give of their means. Someone says, but what about all these other activities that churches have? You can't read about them in the Bible. Therefore, they don't have the identifying marks of that church you read about in the Bible. Let's be honest. Let's be honest about it. So, and you find a church that teaches the plan of salvation properly. Well, what to do to be saved. That's another identifying mark of the church. Not only its organization, not only its name, as I said, and I believe a church needs to be scriptural in name, and as I said, in identifying an automobile, you read on the front of it what it is. They usually have the name spelled out. And you can identify the church of the Bible by the plan of salvation, that it teaches that all men, in order to be saved, have to believe. Because Jesus said, except ye believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. You got to find a church that teaches repentance. Repentance is a change of mind followed by a reformed life. The Bible said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before the Father. When the eunuch was riding along with Philip, the preacher said, if thou believest, thou mayest. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized. When you find a church that teaches faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, you don't leave off any of these. And one is just as important as the other. You have found another identifying mark of the church. And every identifying mark lessens the likelihood of a mistaken identity. That's what I told that man in Texas. I said, you find a church that is organized properly, that worships properly, that teaches the right plan of salvation, and you're on your way to finding the scriptural church of the Bible. But when you find one that's not doing that, it's not the New Testament church. It may be a church. It may be a called out. But the prepositional phrase is not of Christ. It might be of some man. And you could call it a called out because that's all ecclesia mean. And so what we have to do, ladies and gentlemen, is just to find this church that Jesus said he'd build. He said, I'm going to build a church. I believe with every atom of my being that the Lord has a church today. I believe that when people obey the gospel, they're added to that church according to my Bible. They don't join anything. You're added to the church of the... Isn't that simple? Isn't the gospel simple? You're added to the church, and then you find a church that worships God in spirit and in truth in the things that I just mentioned. And you have found the body of Christ in that area. You have found the church in that area. Now, as I said, the church universal has no government, but God put all of his government in the local church. Its elders, its deacons, evangelists, and members. Just like the one here and the one you might find somewhere else. And I always invite people to check us out and to check us out by the Bible. And if you find something we're doing that's not in the Bible, you'd be our friend by saying, you shouldn't be doing that. because that singing isn't in the Bible, or that Lord's Supper isn't in the Bible like you folks teach it, or that praying is not in the Bible like you folks. If you can find that, you are our friend if you will correct us. Because if we lose these identifying marks, we have lost our identity. And the Lord said he will remove the candlestick in Revelation. If you're here today in subject in any way, we hope you'll obey that gospel which I just mentioned. And the Lord will add you, bless your life to the church of the Bible. You don't have to worry about it. And if you walk circumspectly and according to the teaching of the Bible, heaven will be your home. We hope today you'll come. Shall we stand and sing our invitation?